Listen to Today with Sean O'Rourke with the RTE Radio Player.
And you're welcome back to the programme. Don't forget our text number if you are affected by the non-payment of salaries. It's 51551, our email address, today, sor@rte.ie. Now, Islam is the fastest growing religion in Ireland, with an estimated 500 Irish people reverting to the faith each year. But what's it like to be a Muslim in this country? Particularly, what is it like to be a Muslim woman, easily identifiable because of the hijab or the headscarf, which most choose to wear? Well, I'm joined from the Limerick studio now by James Carr, who's a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Limerick, who has just published a study on the experiences of Muslims in Ireland. And I'm also joined by two Muslim women, Kira Simon and Lorraine O'Connor, to tell us about their experiences here, good and bad. You're all very welcome. James, I'll start with you. Why were you interested in this?
Well, I guess, Audrey, as a student of sociology, as a sociologist, the last 10, 15 years, we've seen quite an intensity of stereotyping, of negative reporting, constructing Muslim communities internationally. So I was interested to see how all these stereotypes had impacted or were impacting upon Muslim communities here. A piece of research I undertook on foot of that was to see what we know at the level of the state in terms of how we record racism here, for example, the Equality Authority, Gardaí Equality Tribunal. And what I discovered was we don't actually have any evidence of anti-Muslim racism at the level of the state. So I set about investigating what the experiences were like for Muslim men and women here, and to get some idea of the rates and levels of anti-Muslim hostility and discrimination here.
And
in
we'll
Ireland.
Hear directly from Kira and Lorraine in a moment. But generally, you carried out a wide-ranging survey. So what was your conclusion? Is being a Muslim in Ireland a positive or a negative experience?
Well, I suppose, first of all, Audrey, what I'd like to say is I don't want to sensationalise by saying, you know, the experiences that I'm going to share and the sisters will share with you this morning are widespread and common, and they're happening on every street corner. So I want to be clear on that. But what I want to, the research that I undertook was quite expansive. So I had 14 towns and cities that were in the research. 323 Muslim men and women took part in the questionnaire aspect of it, and another 20 or so took part in some interviews. And what I found was that one in three Muslim men and women experience hostility, so verbal abuse, physical assault and so forth. And one in three experience discrimination, so accessing employment in the employment sphere itself, shops and restaurants. And what's important to note, I think, in the context of our discussion this morning is that when you look at the difference between the sexes, when you see the rates for Muslim women, they come out at almost twice as high as Muslim men in terms of being likely to experience hostility, and similarly with discrimination. So in both cases, you can see that Muslim women's the identifiability of Muslim women is a key factor in their experiences.
And the verbal assaults, but the physical assaults were quite extreme in some cases.
Very much so, yes, indeed. I mean, you have, there's a whole gamut really of you know, from people reporting negative stares right through to the extremes. I have one experience, if I can share it with you, from one participant, and I call her Zaheen. That's not her real name. And Zaheen is an Irish Muslim girl. She converted to Islam here, and she was with her little boy coming out of a GP surgery after one of the regular checkups you have with an infant. And she states that as she came out of the GP surgery, there was a man standing at the traffic lights. She was waiting to cross. And she was waiting for the lights to change so she could cross over. And there were three other women behind her. And then this guy, he started muttering things under his breath, and they started getting louder and louder. Like, he was, you're a terrorist, you're all a pack of murderers, you're a foreigner in this country. And really, really violent things. I was scared, but I was afraid of what he would do to the buggy because my baby was there. He was so loud, and these three women said nothing behind me. I just told him, look, I'm not a terrorist, I'm not a foreigner, I'm Irish, and he just kept on getting more aggressive. Then we crossed the road, he turned around to me and he spat in my face. That's just one experience. I have others where two Muslim girls, shortly after the death of Osama bin Laden, were challenged about bin Laden, and one of them was beaten until she was knocked unconscious, essentially, in a city centre. So, you know, they can manifest as quite violent, and they can also manifest as quite mundane, if you will, in the form of stairs and so forth.
Absolutely. Mm. James, you're staying with us, and I want to bring Kira in at this point. Kira, what has your experience been of being a Muslim here?
I mean, overall, I've been here since I was nine. I was in London, you know, for 9 years, born there. And obviously, you know, London would be a very different environment to Dublin. There's a lot more diversity in London. But I mean, since coming here, I can say that I haven't experienced those kind of violent assaults that James is talking about. But I mean, obviously, I feel that it does depend on the time, on the time, because I mean, after September 11th, that was, I think, a huge turning point for Muslims in Europe, particularly in Ireland. I mean, I myself did experience a number of racist incidents quite soon after the after September 11th, and then for a couple of years after that. But
it
was verbal abuse. Yeah I've never experienced any sort of physical abuse, but I have been in situations where I've had, you know, names thrown at me, and you know, people asking, you know, people making smart comments and asking me silly questions. That was, and I was quite young then. I was only about 13, 14. So, but I mean, before that, I was quite young, and I was in a Muslim school, so I had no, I had no experience of those kind. I'd never been in those situations before.
How did you deal with it?
I was quite young, to be honest, and it was quite shocking. I mean, I don't think I understood the scale of damage that September 11th did to both Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And I think I did start to realise that when these comments and things were thrown at me. And I mean, they were very, obviously, you know, I was never in dangerous situations, but I mean, I did used to get hurt, and you know, I responded depending on how I felt in the situation. Like if it was a huge group of young boys, and by the way, usually most of the situations I've been in, they haven't been, you know, with middle-aged people or elderly people. It has been with young people.
Okay, let me bring Lorraine in. Lorraine, do you have similar experiences?
Yes, I do. I've had experiences. I became a Muslim 10 years ago, and I sat wearing my hijab about 9.5 years ago. And over the 9.5 years, unfortunately, my level of, I'd say, Islamophobia towards me and my family had more of an extent than Kira's. I mean, we've had, you know, I've had my house egged. I've had our car burnt out. I've had my husband attacked. I've been verbally attacked on umpteen occasions, and my children. And the saddest thing about that is you're constantly told to go back to where you came from, or you forget where you were raised. You know, it's really sad being obviously an Irish born and bred person myself to hear that in your own country. And I have to be honest with you, it is a minority. Islamophobia is a minority. The majority of Irish people are live and let live. But as James rightly pointed out, if that minority is not dealt with, and the Islamophobia, the situations that are happening, and it is continuously ignored, it's growing, and it will grow further and further.
And Lorraine, why did you revert to Islam?
Well, just let's say I was searching on a search all my life, and at the age of 35 I found what I was looking for. I found truth, and I can only speak for myself, but I found truth in the oneness of God. So that was my path. I found the truth there and just took aboard myself. It was a choice at the age of 35. I wasn't born into Islam. It wasn't because I married a Muslim. It was an individual choice among myself, because I could see the truth and the beautiness of Islam. And I had lived among Muslims for 15 or 16 years beforehand. So it wasn't a religion that I didn't know about. I did know about it, and I knew, as I said, at 35 years of age, I knew specifically what I was doing. And it was the best decision I ever made in my life.
And Kira, I don't need to tell you about the bad press in many countries that Islam gets, that the criticisms are that it's oppressive of women, that women are subservient to the man. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, the funny thing is, all of these ideas actually come from non-Muslims. But, you know, if you really want to know about Islam, you need to actually ask Muslims. And you know, as a Muslim woman, I do not feel in any way oppressed. I wear the scarf simply because I want to wear the scarf. My parents have never forced the scarf upon me. You know, Islam is balanced. Men and women, they are equal, and because we believe that men and women are equal in the eyes of God, but at the same time we do have different biological makeups, and therefore we have different responsibilities. But you know, if you look into the actual religion, in no way are women oppressed. I just think that, you know, there are bad people everywhere, and the media likes to prey on that. You know, if you hear stories of Muslim women being abused around the world, I can guarantee you that that is nowhere in Islam does it say that Muslim women are allowed to be abused. But there will be men out there that do that. But unfortunately, it's people like myself who have to suffer and you know, suffer from the prejudice. But I mean, you know, that's just the way the media is. They like a good story.
James, in relation to those people, you know, who say it is a dangerous religion, are fearful of it, what do you say to them?
Well, I think what we have to look at are the manner in which Muslim communities, which are incredibly diverse. I mean, your question there to Kira in terms of oppressive Muslim societies. I mean, we have to think of Muslim societies. Ireland has a Muslim community. There are quite liberal Muslim communities around the world. There are states where that would be classed as more oppressive, for sure, where, for example, covering may be seen as obligatory. But the thing is to understand that for the overwhelming majority of Muslim women, the choice is theirs whether they cover, for example, or they don't. So I think what we need to challenge, really, what we need to critique is this: the manner in which 1.3 billion people around the world, Muslim people, are characterized as being all the same, having all the same kind of values, all the same sort of traits ascribed to them.
I'm reading a letter to the Irish Times from a woman in Dublin saying that for the most part, foreign citizens to these shores have integrated well. Why has this not been the case with the Muslim community? She says she comes into contact with Muslims as she walks her dogs on the beach. She has never had a smile or a hello returned. Why would anyone choose to live in Ireland if they didn't like us?
Can I just make a point on this? Again, there's this assumption that being Muslim is being foreign here. Like I said, and as you said at the outset, there are very many Irish Muslim people here whose values are the same as ours, are ours, if you want to put it that way. This idea that some people won't smile, you know, you can't describe that to all Muslim people because you have an anecdotal experience walking on a beach somewhere. I mean, last night I was involved in an interfaith gathering here in Limerick where there were members of the Baha'i faith, the Jewish faith, members of no faith, and of course the Muslim community celebrating Eid al-Fitr festival here. Mm-hmm. There's certainly no lack of a want to integrate, and as I underscore, the point is that Irish people, as being Irish Muslim people, are part of society. They have integrated. That's, I think we need to think of it differently.
We're out of time, unfortunately. We could talk for much longer, but not today. Thank you all very much indeed, James Carr, Kira Simon and Lorraine O'Connor. It's just gone 11 o'clock and Brian Jennings is here with the news.